So the reading is taken from Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 1. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying,
"We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king."
So Pilate asked Jesus,
"Are you the king of the Jews?"
"You have said so,"
Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd,
"I find no basis for a charge against this man."
But they insisted,
"He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here."
On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform a sign of some sort. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them,
"You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him."
But the whole crowd shouted, Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting,
"Crucify him! Crucify him!"
For the third time, he spoke to them,
"Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore, I will have him punished and then release him."
But with loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will.
I want to start with a question. Have you ever got into trouble for doing something wrong? Has anyone here ever got into trouble for doing something wrong? Just a couple of people. Have you ever got into trouble for doing something wrong? Yeah? Well, when I was at primary school, I'm not quite sure why I did this, but for some reason I scribbled all over the exercise book of the girl who was sitting next to me. I blush just to remember the incident. I just don't know what possessed me. I scribbled all over it, and I was sent to see Mrs. Ross, who was the head teacher. And I was sitting outside Mrs. Ross's office waiting to see her, and I had a knot in my stomach. I was so worried about seeing her, because someone had told me that if you had to go and see Mrs. Ross for being naughty, the punishment was you had to eat a bar of soap. And I was sitting outside her office thinking I was going to have to eat a bar of soap. And I was really worried. I was really worried. And I went in, and amazingly, all she did was tell me off and tell me not to do it again. I was so relieved. No soap in sight. Have you ever got into trouble for doing, got into trouble for something you didn't do? Has that ever happened to you? That's happened to Julian, yes? And anyway, that's a horrible feeling, isn't it? So perhaps you would, there are some people talking in assembly, and the whole class has to miss break time. And you're thinking, that's so unfair, because I wasn't talking in assembly, but you still have to miss break time. at school, same school, primary school, my whole collection of marbles was taken away from me by Mr. Bentle, one of the teachers. And what happened was, when the whistle went for the end of playtime, you were supposed to freeze. You weren't allowed to keep playing. And the whistle went for the end of playtime, and somebody rolled a marble. And Mr. Bentle thought it was me. It wasn't me. It was Jonathan Perugia, actually, for the record. But Mr. Bentle thought it was me, and I was the one who got into trouble. And Mr. Bentle asked me to hand over my entire marble collection, which he then kept for nearly 2 years. I didn't get them back till I left the school. It is a horrible thing to get punished for something you didn't even do. Well, over the last few weeks, we've been looking at what happened to Jesus. And what we'll see in today's passage is we're going to look at how Jesus gets punished for something he didn't even do. We're up to the point where the religious leaders have got hold of Jesus. They've arrested him, and they've taken him to the Pilate. No, that's not what it is. They've taken him off to Pilate. Pilate, who was the Roman in charge of dishing out punishments. And the religious leaders, they say to Pilate, they all sort of gang up on him, and they say, look, you need to punish Jesus for all the wicked things that Jesus has done. And you see, in verse 2 of our reading, they list all the wicked things that they think he's done. They say, we've found this man subverting our nation, and he opposes payment of taxes to Caesar, and he claims to be Christ, a king. Those are the charges they try and pin on Jesus. Where's Ben? Ben, you're going to come and be Jesus. And these are the charges that they try and... Just stand here. These are the charges they try and pin on Jesus. First of all, they say he's subverting our nation. In other words, he's a bad influence. You know how you get people at school and people in sort of hushed tones say, well, you've got to stay away from them because they're a bad influence. They're the sort of people who are naughty and they kind of draw other people into being naughty. And they end up getting other people to be naughty as well. And what these people were saying is, we need to get rid of Jesus because he is a bad influence on the nation. Is that right? He was getting people to do bad things? Is that right? That can't be right, can it? Think about what Jesus did. He healed people who were sick. He fed people who were hungry. He forgave people. He told us to love our enemies. He told us to give to the people who were poor. He said he'd come to spend time with the people who were lonely and whom nobody else would talk to. He said he'd come to seek and save the lost. Would you say he was a bad influence on the nation? You think he's innocent or guilty of being a bad influence? Innocent or guilty? What do you reckon? Innocent or guilty? What does everyone else reckon? Innocent. So we're not going to scrub that charge out. It doesn't stand up. He's innocent. Okay, the next thing they accuse him of is, do you see, he opposes payment of taxes to Caesar. Now, when you go out to work, you get paid, and tax is what you pay to the government so that they have money to spend on the things that we all need, like roads and hospitals and looking after people who can't work and those kinds of things. And they're going around saying, Jesus says we shouldn't pay taxes. And if people didn't pay taxes, that's very serious. Because it means there'd be no money for roads or hospitals or the people who can't work. Now, in Roman times, they didn't, strictly speaking, use the money for hospitals. But, nevertheless, not paying taxes was very serious. Here's what Jesus said about taxes, as it happens. Jesus says, let me just read it. They say, tell us then, what's your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, you hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? See, they were just trying to trap him. Show me the coin used for paying the tax. And they brought him a denarius, which was one of the coins, and he asked them, whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. And then he said to them, do you see? So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's. And they're saying, oh, this man says you shouldn't pay taxes. Is that what Jesus is saying? He's not saying that. He's saying give to Caesar what is Caesar's. Pay your taxes to Caesar, but just make sure you give to God what is God's. So is he innocent or guilty about being against tax? What do you reckon? Innocent or guilty? He's innocent. He isn't. That's not true at all. What about the last one? They say, end of verse 2, and he claims to be Christ, a king. They're claiming he is a rebel against Caesar. Caesar was the Roman king. And they say, Jesus is going around saying he's the real king. And Jesus is very, very dangerous because he's going to fight Caesar. And he's got swords and armies and everything. So we've got to get rid of him. Is that right? That's not right. Just look back on your in Luke, to Luke chapter 22. Do you see, in verse 49, some people come to arrest Jesus, and one of Jesus' followers says, shall we strike with our swords? And they struck the servant of the high priest, and they cut off his ear. And what did Jesus say? Did Jesus say, quite right, to cut off their ears with swords? That's what we're all about. He says, do you see verse 51? No more of this. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple guard and the elders who had come for him, am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts and you didn't lay a hand on me. Do you see? He says, I'm not a rebel with an army and with swords. I've been in the temple teaching. So is he a rebel, guilty or innocent? What do you reckon? Innocent. He's not a rebel. He's not come with swords and an army. He's not going to fight against Caesar. And where's my little button? Pilate seems to agree with this. Pilate agrees. So Pilate says, verse 3, Pilate asks Jesus, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus says, yes, it is, as you say. And Pilate doesn't go, well, I can see why you're a very, very dangerous influence and we need to get rid of you. He realizes that whatever sort of a king Jesus is, he's not waving swords. He's not a bad influence. He's not against tax. He's not a rebel. So Pilate says in verse 4, I find no basis for a charge against this man. See, he says, he's not guilty. He's innocent. But you see what all the religious leaders do in verse 5? They insist, oh, he stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here. They're saying, no, you don't understand, Pilate. He's really dangerous. You must get rid of him. So Pilate has got to make a very difficult decision. But Pilate doesn't really want to make a difficult decision. And Pilate suddenly realizes that if Jesus comes from a place called Galilee, then it's not really his decision to make. So he sends him to Herod. There he is, King Herod. It's his department. And you see what Luke says about Herod, verse 8. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he'd been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him perform some kind of a miracle. Do you see, Herod, he's really pleased to see Jesus because he wants Jesus to do a miracle. He thinks Jesus is a kind of performing dog who's learnt to do tricks. And Herod wants to see Jesus do one of his tricks. He goes, go on, show us one of your tricks. But when Jesus gives him no answer, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, they stand there vehemently accusing him. You see? They say, oh, don't be so nice to him, Herod. He's guilty, he's guilty, he's guilty. And you know when someone bullies someone else, it's quite easy to join in sometimes, isn't it? When people say nasty things, you find yourself drawn to joining in with them and saying nasty things too, and you're not quite sure why. But that's exactly what happens to Herod. So do you see verse 11? Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him. He joins in. Dressing him in an elegant robe, they sent him back to Pilate. But Pilate and Herod, the people in charge of dishing out the punishments, they basically say, verse 13, Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers of the people, rulers and the people, and said to them, you brought me this man as one who is inciting the people to rebellion. I've examined him in your presence and found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us, as you can see. He has done nothing to deserve death. Do you see? He's innocent. He has done nothing to deserve death. There was another man in prison at that time, and his name was Barabbas. Where's Barabbas? Here he is. And Barabbas, these are the charges against Barabbas. Do you see that in verse 19? He'd been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city. That means he was a rebel with swords. And for murder. He was a murderer. Okay? So you've got one man who is completely innocent, Jesus. And you've got Barabbas, who is guilty. And Pilate wants to release Jesus. So he's pointing to Jesus. Let's release Jesus. But what do the people shout? Do you remember? Have a look at verse 21. What do the people shout? What do they shout? Pilate says, "Shall we release Jesus?" And what do they shout? I can't hear you. Sorry, I still can't hear you. What?
Crucify.
No, I'm sorry. One more time. I can't quite. What do they shout? They do. And Pilate says again, no, I'm not going to release Barabbas. I'm going to release Jesus because Jesus is completely innocent and Barabbas is guilty. But you see what happens. Verse 23, but with loud shouts, they insistently demanded he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. Isn't it strange? What is going on? Barabbas is guilty. He's a rebel and a murderer. Jesus is innocent. Why do they want to set Barabbas free? Why do they want to punish Jesus? It's partly because of what human beings are like. Look at this picture here. This is a picture of somebody's bedroom. It's a kind of sample of someone's bedroom. If your bedroom is really messy like that, one of the things you can do is you can just switch the light off and then you don't know it's messy. You can lie on your bed in the dark and think your room is perfectly tidy, yeah? And when your mum or your dad walk in and switch the light on, it's a real pain because it shows how messy the room is. And you want to say, no, switch the light off again. I don't want to see the mess. And Jesus comes into our world like a light switched on. He's so good that he kind of shows up how messed up we are, how bad we are. And the religious authorities, they didn't want him switching the light on. They didn't want to be shown how bad they were. And so they wanted to get rid of Jesus, switch him off. And it wasn't just the religious authorities. Do you know, all down the ages, people have not wanted anything to do with Jesus, not because he was so bad, but because he was so good. He was so good that he shows us how bad we are, like the light switched on. And they don't really want to face that. So they want to release Barabbas, who is a rebel and a murderer, because Barabbas doesn't make us feel so bad. But we want to get rid of Jesus because he makes us feel bad. And sure enough, that's what happened. You see, verse 24, so Pilate decided to grant their demand, and he released the man who'd been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. So the innocent Jesus was led away by the guards. They dragged him away to be punished. And the guilty Barabbas was set free to rejoin the congregation. Just think about this, though. When somebody accuses you of doing something you didn't do, which is not true, what do you normally do? You defend yourself, don't you? You say, it wasn't me. Why does Jesus just stand here and do nothing? Why? So unfair. I'll tell you why. He does nothing because he is letting them take him away. He is letting them crucify him. Jesus looks across to Barabbas and says, "It's okay, Barabbas. I know you are guilty and that you deserve to be punished. But I will take the punishment so you can go free." It's what Jesus has been saying all along to his followers. He said, actually, he's not just come to die so Barabbas can go free. He says he's come to die so all of us can go free. Because we are all like Barabbas. Now, we may not be a murderer or a rebel, but think of how we hate people in our hearts. Think of how we cut them down with our tongues. Jesus says that's murder. And we may not be rebels with swords, but think of how we don't want to do what God says because we want to be in charge. We are rebels, all of us, like Barabbas, guilty. And Jesus is letting them take him away so that he takes the punishment for Barabbas and for all of us so we can all go free. Nearly 100 years ago, there was a young boy, just 14 years old, who played the bugle. Do you see the bugle he's holding there? In the army. And his name was Will Holt. And there was one time when they were out on rifle practice, and during the night, somebody had messed up all the targets. And they worked out it was someone from tent number 4, which was the tent that Will Holt slept in with some other guys. And the colonel said, whoever it was in tent 4 who messed up the targets should own up. And if they take their punishment, everyone else will go free. There was silence. Nobody said a word. Then after a few minutes, little Will Holt stepped up. The colonel was a bit taken aback. It was not like Will Holt to cause trouble. He wasn't a troublemaker. He was sure Will hadn't messed the targets up. So the colonel waited for someone else to own up, but nobody did. So Will said, "Colonel, you said if one man steps up and takes the punishment, everyone else can go free. Well, I'm stepping up." And so Will took the punishment, which in those days was a very, very nasty beating. And afterwards, Will was lying in a heap from the beating, and a fellow called Jim Sykes went over to him. And Jim said, "Why did you do it, Will? Why did you step up like that? It wasn't you, it was me. I messed up the targets. It should have been me who was beaten. Why did you step up?" And you know what Will said? He said, "Because I thought it might help you to understand how much Jesus loves you." "What?" said Jim Sykes. Will said, "I took your place because I love you, Jim. But Jesus loves you much, much more." Will said, "I took the punishment for just one sin. But Jesus took your punishment for every sin you have ever done." Will Holt, he was right. Jesus stepped up and stood in our place. And he took the punishment for all the sins we have ever done. Some people say, "Well, I don't want Jesus. He makes me feel bad. The light goes on and I just feel all dirty." Yes, he does show us what we're like. He shows us that we are Barabbas. We are murderers and rebels. That we deserve God's punishment. But he shows us something else. Do you see? Do you see what he is like? He didn't just come to make us feel bad and leave us. He came to take our punishment so we could go free. Sometimes you think of what you've done, perhaps you think just in the last week, you think of what you've done and you feel so guilty and you feel, "Oh, God can never love me. Not now." And we think God will only love good people. No. Anyone can love good people. Anyone can do that. That's easy. But the God of the Bible is the God who loves murderers and rebels, like Barabbas, like me, like you. loves people so much, he's prepared to send his son to take our place and die for us so we can go free. So it's true, Jesus does turn on the light and he shows us how bad we are, but don't you see how good he is? And if you've never turned to Jesus, if you've never thanked him for what he's done for you, wouldn't today be a great day to do that? I'm going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to pray it slowly, and listen along to it, and if it's a good prayer for you to pray, why don't you say it silently in your heart? So as we sit, let's pray. Dear Jesus, I want to say sorry. I'm sorry that I'm a rebel, that I want to be in charge, that I don't want you telling me what to do. Dear Jesus, I want to say thank you. Thank you that in your love, you took my punishment so I could go free. Dear Jesus, please, please would you send your spirit into my heart and make me one of your followers. Amen.
Firstly, someone's asked, why did someone have to suffer for my sins? Couldn't have God just have forgiven them?
Sin is very serious, and God is a God who is completely good. He's so good, he can't just say, oh, it doesn't matter. One of the really bad things in this world is you get people who are judges or people in authority, and they turn a blind eye to things that are evil, things that are bad. They say, oh, it doesn't matter. So God is so good. He says it matters very much, and it's so serious there is a price that goes with it. I don't know whether this is a helpful illustration or I'm trying to think of what if... Okay, I've got my little... I got my moped out the front there, okay? And what if you... If Ben, okay, Ben, you take my moped for a spin and you crash it, okay? You crash it, in order for the thing to be repaired, either Ben could pay for it. He could say, it's all right, Mike, I'll pay for the repairs. Or I could say, no, it's all right, Ben, I'll pay for it. But there is a price that needs to be paid. It won't just magically be fixed. And what the Lord God is saying, there is a price that needs to be paid for sin, and we could pay it. But in his love, he says, no, I'll pay it for you. So I think it's something like that. But that's a very deep question. And if you asked it, maybe let's talk some more over tea.
Great. Thanks, Mike. The other question is, doesn't he, the Lord, show us how beautiful and precious and unique we are too?
Yes. The very fact that he comes and willingly chooses to die for us. We've seen that again and again as we followed the events of Jesus's leading up to Jesus's death. We've said, why doesn't he do anything? Why doesn't he throw them off? Why doesn't he escape? But he doesn't escape. He could easily have escaped, but he doesn't escape. He lets them arrest him and take him away and punish him and crucify him because he's choosing to pay the price. Because that's how precious we are to him. And I suppose if I was to choose to pay the price for Ben, you know, Ben's messed up my moped or whatever, and Ben could go, actually, that shows that Mike really cares about me. That Mike thinks I'm precious to him. And that's right.